So these last few days been finishing up the readings on the life of the Buddha and the account of his the last year of his life over these last few days and last several days, last week, I guess. And one of the things that to me is quite striking is that over and over again, the Buddha is emphasizing the fundamentals of the teaching and the training. In its on a certain level, it's really ordinary things that we all know, but such and such is virtue, such and such is concentration, such and such is wisdom. Concentration that's supported by virtue is brings great fruit, great benefit. Wisdom supported by concentration brings great fruit and great benefit. The heart supported by wisdom brings liberation and freedom from the asavas and that on a certain level is something we all know, and it's kind of it's fundamental, it's foundational, and that those foundations are really what because oftentimes we're looking for something new, some new angle, something I missed, something haven't got quite yet understood, something really more refined, more essential, more kind of snazzy somehow, that's really going to dazzle the mind and make me liberated and finally free from my defilements and free from dukkha. And in reality, it's the commitment to these fundamentals, the commitment to those foundations. When the foundation is really solid, then the heart is able to really see clearly and free itself. Lumpa Cha, I remember Lumpa Cha talking about living with Lumpa Kinnerly, that's the teacher that he spent the most time with, and saying that he didn't listen to a whole lot of Dhamma, because Lumpa Kinnery, he kept saying the same thing over and over, and Lumpa Kinnery would just say, let's return to Bhutto, look after Bhutto, practice a lot, and knowledge will arise on its own, it took him quite a long time to really, he did, but it takes a long time to really appreciate that. And oftentimes, like the Ajahn Chah's own teachings, he was incredibly skillful as a teacher, but he really returned to the fundamentals, the foundations, over and over and over and over again. Somehow he always made it fresh, and I think that's one of the keys to our own practice, is how to make those foundations and those fundamentals fresh, keeping them fresh, not getting overwhelmed by restlessness or frustration our desire for something more, something, because those aspects of tanha, of craving, of desire. This is where the Buddha points to that as the source of suffering, that sensual desires, desire for being, becoming, getting, attaining. I need to get more. I have to be somebody who is more refined. I have to be somebody who has insight. I have to be somebody who is accomplished in some way. And we torture ourselves, I've got to practice so much more. I got to get rid of my defilements. I got to get rid of my bad qualities. How do I get rid of my these defilements? They're just torturing me, and so much of it is that we reaffirm and reinvigorate and reestablish those roots of craving, and it's not that you don't let go of anything. It's not that you don't develop anything. It's for sure, but it's that approaching, being able to approach the practice through the lens of dhammas, through the foundations of mindfulness and wisdom, rather than the roots of self identity, because that's that tanha, what holds. The glue that holds these different forms of tanha together are that attachment to self, the identity of me, that I, me, and mine program, and that's the and it's just is. It's a different shift to see things in terms of cause and condition, causal process, according to the nature of things. And that's approaching things with awareness and discernment, and tanha doesn't have a landing place, doesn't have a place to grow. And so that sense of paying attention to those fundamentals of practice and training, that nurturing of such and such is virtue, such and such is concentration, such and such is wisdom and discernment. This is the nourishments of the heart that can be taste freedom. So looking at things through that causal process, and then just seeing things in, because one of the things that, because it's actually a title of one of Ajahn Chah's books, is everything is teaching us, and if we look at things in terms of how is it teaching us, how what can I learn from this? How can I understand this? As opposed to, what can I get or what can I get rid of? What do I have to get? What do I have to get rid of? Because then that comes from the self position. Whereas if we were able to look in terms of, you know, what is, everything is teaching us. Everything is an opportunity to learn, to understand. That sense of, there's a couple really interesting suttas where the Buddha talks about all things sambe dhamma mula chandaka, all things are rooted in desire. So it's like all things are rooted in desire. But then he goes on, and one is in the eights, so it's a list of eight things, and the other one's in the ten, so it's a list in the tens. And it's so there's ten, it's sort of expanded a little bit. And I won't be able to remember all of them, but it's that yeah, all things, sabbe dhamma, all things are rooted in desire, all things are something there. Arise from attention. All things are, born of contact. All things converge on feeling. All things, and there's something concerning the wisdom. Mindfulness, all things have mindfulness as a governing principle. All things have, say, liberation as their core. All things culminate in the deathless. All things have nibbana as their consummation. So there's this sense of, yeah, all things have this these different possibilities. All dhammas have the possibility, they could be rooted in desire, yes. All things are, but then also they have the reality of, okay, of attention being so central, of contact being central, of converging on feeling. Everything has a feeling tone. Everything, and of course, then we react to things. Or everything has this possibility for being guided by mindfulness. All things have the possibility of having some aspect of wisdom there. All things can have their kind of their essence, their core. It can be liberation. It doesn't have to be sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. It can be. You can respond to it in a different way. You can approach it in a different way. It has the culminating in the deathless. It's consummation in nibbana, and it's, we don't think in terms of that. In terms of all things converge on feeling, so much of as practitioners, but even for most human beings, we do spend our life running after the pleasant. Just pleasant feeling, whatever is going to be pleasant, pleasing, comfortable, conducive to some kind of happiness in some way. trying to run away from, trying to get out of painful feeling. But in reality, the majority of what we feel is neutral. And, you know, it's nothing much. But then we don't have the, you know, we get bored or we get distracted and we look for something else. And that's also, it's also just being able to be training the mind in mindfulness and clear comprehension, discernment, so that we can stay with neutral feeling and not be distracted, not be bored, not get impatient and look for something else, but being able to, because that's, you notice, if you like, just in terms of meditation and, or in ordinary day-to-day life, that cultivation of mindfulness that is where we lose our mindfulness. We tend not to get low when we get swept up in something painful, some aversive feeling, something negative. You know, that can grab our attention for a while. Or the kind of some sort of pleasant feeling that can hold our attention for a while. But it's all impermanent and changing. But it's the neutral feeling. Things inevitably transition into neutral feeling, and then we, or there, that's there anyway, and we lose sight of it. We lose sight of clarity. We lose sight of being present. We lose sight of a sense of discernment, seeing clearly, because it's neutral. It doesn't grab our attention. So just the mindfulness of breathing is really so important for training our attention, being able to sustain attention, lifting up attention, and then developing that continuity of reflective awareness, so that we're not losing mindfulness. We're not getting bored and distracted. Able to stay with the neutral, and of course that kind of say solidity of awareness then it transfers much more easily to, say, the pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, painful feeling, because it's and then there's the one able to reflect more clearly, to stay with. There's a kind of resilience to the mind and an agility to being able to stay with what we are experiencing. And so then it's not easily deluded by that tendency to, you know, to drift off into either the, you know, Gamatanha, Bhavatanha, Vibhavatanha, because that's in dependent origination, and that Vedana Pachaya Tanha, it's a really important link, and very important process in the mind, that feeling conditions desire, so that it's being able to observe and reflect and be attentive, so that cultivation of this aspect of mindfulness, clear comprehension, discernment, reflective, that taking an interest in what we're experiencing, because it's that process of mindfulness and awareness and investigation, reflection, discernment, that is like a basis for insight, but it's not as if it's a constantly a process that is we have to be attentive to. It's not that we're some sort of insight is going to arrive, then we're going to be able to hang on to it, because insight that is that we kind of try to solidify, it's just a memory. It's all it is a memory that fades into obscurity. So that attention to the process, that application of mindfulness and investigation and discernment and allowing everything to teach us. That's an attitude that keeps bearing fruit and keeps allowing the mind to release, to relinquish. And say all things in a completely different discourse. The Buddha uses that, say, sambe dhamma, that all things, sambe dhamma nalang abhinivesaya, all things are not to be clung to. All things are not to be a focus of attachment. So that all things can be teaching us. All things can be a basis for non-clinging and relinquishment, release. So there's this sense of taking an interest in what our experience is, taking an interest in this process, but also recognizing that it's grounded in those fundamentals. Such and such is virtue. Such and such is concentration. Such and such is wisdom. And then the process of nurturing that concentrate, that samadhi, supporting it, nurturing it with virtue, integrity, and the kind of well-being that comes from integrity, from virtue. Kind of happiness that comes from non-harming, non. You know, it's so easy to overlook how important that is. That you know, we're actually living a life of stepping back from harming and to have that living a life that is, there's no reason for remorse, there's no reason for regret. It's just as, oh, gosh, we've been able to live a life of sharing, of giving, of being careful, attentive to the our own well-being, the well-being of everyone and everything around us. That's on the human level and on the realm of sentient existence. That's pretty good, and worthy of delight. And then the opportunity from that is then, you know, that concentration is nurtured and nourished by virtue. Wisdom and discernment, understanding is supported, is nourished, is fed by the settling of the mind, the stilling of the mind, the turning to stillness, and then the release is nourished and supported through the understanding. Relinquishment is nourished through the understanding. So that stepping back from that, the impulse to react through craving, that desire for gratification, desire for being something, being somebody, being something, getting something, and to get away from, annihilate, push away the things we don't like, don't want, don't think we should be. That's agitation of that movement. And so all things, you know, just letting those things, you know, let it culminate in the deathless. Let it have a consummation in Nibbana. Allow that core of liberation to display itself. And it's not so much that we're, you know, pushing and striving and trying to get it. It's more really being willing to learn from all things, learn from this Sammhe Dhamma. It's like this. This is the way it is. This is the way of nature. And so that learning from the ordinary, learning from the normal. And that's the word in Thai for ordinary, normal, tamada. But it comes from that sense of ordinary, normal. Dhammata comes from the Pali, dhammata, according to Dhamma. This is according to nature, according to the way things are. It's like this. And so where we tend to, again, escape the neutral, escape the normal, and escape the ordinary, and get something that's a bit more special, a bit more gratifying, a bit more something. Something more than what I've got. And of course, we're always dissatisfied because of that. We're always discontent because of that. It's that allowing everything is teaching us if we're willing to learn. Everything is a there's the possibility of its culminating in the deathless. To offer that for reflection this evening. Namaste.